Sentinel Online. Now loading all things Transformers.
Transformers episode 50. I'm your host Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me as always is
Dave, Joe, and Mike. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. It's been a while since we've done one of these things, and there's been a lot of news since we have. And congratulations on number 50, sir. Even though we've done more than 50 episodes, it's still number 50.
Yes, and granted, it's been postponed trying to get listener feedback, but of course, none. So
you people suck.
Yes. But no matter, the show must go on.
Yes.
So, yeah, not too worried about it, but nevertheless, like you said, there's been a crap ton of news, so probably should get into that.
Yes, we probably should. And yes, I know a lot of the other Transformers podcasts have talked about this already, but seeing as how we're not like all the other Transformers podcasts, we're going to talk about it again.
Yes.
And the first thing we're going to mention is Masterpiece Rodimus confirmed to transform from Hot Rod to Rodimus Prime. That's very cool.
Yes.
In a move that is likely to please all Hot Rod Rodimus Prime fans, Takara Tomy has revealed recently that the upcoming Masterpiece Rodimus Convoy will have four modes of transformation. They are as follows: Hot Rod, Car Mode, Rodimus Convoy, Rodimus Prime, Space Winnebago, part of which in turn transforms into Battle Station, like the original. The speculation about the toy being able to transform from Hot Rod to Rodimus Prime since the revelation of the initial design sketches emerged turned out to be true. The figure is truly more than meets the eye. Now, I love this. This is so awesome.
Yeah, as much as I sometimes don't really care per se for some of this masterpiece news. This is definitely one of the better ones.
This is probably the most ambitious they've gotten with a Masterpiece toy ever.
Yeah, I would have to definitely say so.
And there is another news story. I don't have it pulled up, but GFW did another one where it's more of a rumor. Nothing has been confirmed yet, but supposedly, you know how you have the Takara Tomy release, and then you have, like with Masterpiece Grimlock, you have the U.S. release at Toys R Us that doesn't have the apron or anything, like, doesn't have the accessories, but it has something else.
Yes.
That isn't included in the Takara version. There's a rumor going around, the same thing with Rodimus, there's a rumor that possibly the U.S. version, he won't have his trailer. Which I think is stupid. You know, say
they
what you...
He better have his trailer.
Well, that's for the U.S. version, is what I'm saying, when they release it here in the U.S. But, I mean, honestly, if you go to, I mean, and Masterpiece Toys on BBTS, they're $200. That's about what you're going to pay anyways. So you figure, why not just go ahead and pay the $200, get the Japanese version with everything that comes with it. So there's that rumor going around. And it is just a rumor. We don't have any confirmation yet or anything like that. But this one is just, wow. Man, if I could afford this, I would so get it. And this isn't one of those things that I need two or three or four of because it has four different modes. This is one of those. This is probably a toy that I would transform all the time.
Considering you don't transform them barely.
Yeah, I know. But it's the funny thing. The G1 stuff, like, I think my two favorite G1 toys, well, at least out of the ones I still have, are Optimus and Astro Train. Optimus and Astro Train are, you know, just like that. They're very easy to transform. Granted, Astro Train's legs are, whatever. But this thing is so freaking cool, and I'm so glad that Takara is doing this one.
Yeah, this definitely is going to be one to look forward to.
Only thing that I kind of wish that there was, and I know, you know, people are, you know, all you Optimus Prime lovers and wish he'd never died in the movie. The only, you know, people are probably going to lash out at me for this. I wish Rodimus would come with a Matrix. We don't know if he's coming with a Matrix or not.
Yeah, that would be something that he could definitely use.
Yep.
But, yeah, like you said, there's probably no telling if he's actually going to come with it.
Yeah. Actually, there was someone, I don't remember. I'm sorry, I don't remember who you are, but someone on the tformers.com website did a little pictorial review of animated Rodimus, and this is a little side note, and one of their captions was, you know, this toy is great, but you really, if you're a, you know, a super big fan of Rodimus, you really only got this toy so we could do this. And the picture is, I'll have to send you the link later, but the picture is animated Rodimus holding the Masterpiece Optimus Matrix in his hands.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's great. I'm sure there'll be more talk of Masterpiece Rodimus whenever I get Protoman on again for another toy cast. So I guess moving on, do you want to talk about the Arachnid stuff?
Yes. Recently there's been the, you know, the application anyway for the trademark for the Arachnid, and they spelled it with, you know, A-I-R-A-C-H-N-I-D so that it would kind of be a play on Arachnid, but sound pretty much the same. But it's got the Beast Era Predacon insignia. However, there are differences between the actual insignia of Beast Wars Predacons and this one, which it's subtle differences. It's not really that big of a difference other than like the antenna and the, you know, kind of cheeks of the picture. But they tend to do this anyway whenever they update a, you know, a faction symbol. So, but it was denied. So whatever was going to be laid to rest with this, you know, or used with this, is probably on hold, or they're going to call it something else if they're going to use it.
Well, they can't use it. That's the
thing. I'm saying if they use the symbol.
Okay.
They would call it something different.
Right.
That's all they could do at this point because it got denied because of Arachnoid from some other company.
Well, let me see. It was Africans Market, right?
Because it sounds too much like Arachnoid. That's
why they
kind of killed it.
Yep, that sucks.
Which sucks, but I mean, that does kind of bode well for something kind of Beast Wars related to be resurfacing. Hopefully not in TF Prime, though. Because if they try and mesh Beast Wars with Movieverse and Animatedverse, it's going to look like ass. Just saying.
Yeah. And I guess on more trademark news, Hasbro has also filed for new Transformers trademark applications. Thanks to Transformers of the Moon, we now know that during last week, Hasbro has filed trademark rights for some new names. One particular name is Autobot Alliance. We know it as the Japanese equivalent of Hunt for the Decepticons. In addition to that, there's also Destination Earth, Spark Your Summer, and Unlock the Secrets. And, you know, one can only guess at what any of these are.
Yeah, because Hasbro doesn't exactly have a good set of running names for anything.
Well, I mean, if you, you know, regardless of my hatred of the movie line, obviously you have to call the movie line toys whatever the movie's called. Like, you know, you had Transformers the Movie for 2007. You had Transformers Revenge of the Fallen for the second movie line, which now is Hunt for the Decepticons. So it's still movie-based. The Spark Your Summer thing could be something for next year when the film comes out. I don't really know. Maybe it's a contest or something that Hasbro's going to do. I don't know. I'm just speculating here.
It sounds closer to a contest.
Yeah. And Destination Earth, that makes no... unless they're going to play more off of the War for Cybertron continuity if they go off the book Transformers Exodus. That makes no sense with the movie because they're already on fucking Earth.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. But just, I mean, I don't know. It's just one of those weird-ass stories. And continuing with movie news... we've got Transformers 3 character description, Hardcore Eddie. We have with us a look at the upcoming human character from the third Transformers movie thanks to an exclusive interview by MovieMikes.com. Hardcore Eddie, we all know him as someone who is rumored to bring an end to a certain Cybertronian we all know and love in Transformers 3. If you want to know exactly who Hardcore Eddie is, all you have to do is click on the title. Okay, well, I really don't care about human characters in these films. I honestly don't.
Myself, personally, I could give two shits less on this character because it's just another human that's going to blow away the Cybertronians, regardless of the fact that they're so supposedly so advanced that they could squish them.
Kill it with fire!
And warning, you know, to anybody that actually gives a rat's ass about this particular section, he's rumored to kill
Starscream.
Starscream, which, why? I would rather see Megatron get pissed at him and say "fuck you" and blow his head off. I mean, that would be a good send off, or have Prime say "give me your spark" or something, and you know, just a human killing Starscream. Who says Starscream would let him get close enough to kill him? He's a weasel.
Yeah. See, that's one of the reasons why I don't, you know, I like Michael Bay's other movies. I don't like the way he's been directing the Transformers films, but that's just my own personal opinion. And you know, every now and then I will still bring up the old adage of, yes, Michael Bay continually rapes my childhood like Starscream rapes giant metal bugs, but still, right now, it's like Michael Bay would have been more suited, and someone said this to me, I don't remember who it is, so I'm sorry if I steal the line. Michael Bay would have been more suited directing G.I. Joe than Transformers, because he's in love with all the military stuff and everything else.
Yes, I think that they botched G.I. Joe, in my opinion. I think G.I. Joe, I mean, they did good on it, with the exception of some of the effects that they used, and Cobra Commander's face. I'm not going to get into this. It's a different show. Regardless of the fact, I do agree with you. I think he would have been a better fit for that over Steven Sommers. I think that Michael Bay was needed for the first film in this franchise to show it could be done and brought to light.
Yeah.
Because the first film was really good. The second film could have been better had they had writers that were fully committed to it, not had the writer's strike, and kicked Michael Bay off.
Yeah.
The second film was halfway decent. I'm not going to say it was horrible, but because I have seen worse. But it was not one that I would sit there and continuously rerun.
Yeah, no. And moving on here, past Hardcore Eddie's stupid ass. So apparently, someone seriously got injured on Transformers 3 set. That's not good.
No.
A person working on the filming of Transformers 3 was seriously injured on the set in Indiana. Oh, great. Only in Indiana would this happen. Wednesday night, sources tell NBC Chicago the person, a female, was transported via helicopter to a Chicago-area hospital after being injured on the set shortly before 7 p.m. An Indiana State Police spokesman did not provide any information as to the person's condition, what happened, or what hospital they were taken to. We wish her a speedy recovery. The crew will be filming for the last time in Chicago on Thursday. Millennium Park will be the site of the pyrotechnic explosions beginning in about 6 a.m. So, yeah, we don't really know anything about who this person is or what actually happened. So, I guess we can talk about cursing Michael Bay if you want to take that one.
Alrighty.
Michael Bay
denies the $400 million Transformers 3 budget rumor. Why does it matter? It says, Leister is censored. He has no clue about how much other than to try to get internet hype. He's been on the movie a total of 10 days. The guy is just letting his ass talk. Movie is money, just above revenge. He knows not to talk about this movie. So it sounds like Michael Bay's got broken English. He's extremely pissed when he says this. He's denying the rumor, which is probably true, because somebody let the cat out of the bag.
Yep.
And this tells me that this is, you would think with the budget, or with this being the final film and the franchise, that he would do it right. We all know.
It's Michael Bay. He doesn't do stuff right.
He just blows it up real good.
Yep.
But I'm hoping for his sake that he ends it similar to on the lines of the first film, like as far as writing style.
Yeah.
Because that was a good film.
Yep.
If he doesn't,
he's
and
wrong.
Creates another Revenge of the Fallen, I guarantee, and within 5 years, we will see another reboot of this show.
Yeah.
As sad as that is, I do see a reboot in the make if this bombs. Because it's all about the writing.
Yep.
Why don't they just hire some Generation 1 fucking writers?
Because it's Michael fucking Bay. He wants people he can control.
Because I have no confidence in this writer for this third film.
I don't even
know who the hell he is.
Yeah, that's the thing. He shadow wrote half of Revenge. And
but who knows how much he even wrote even then, because Michael Bay wrote part of it.
Yep.
The other guys wrote part of it while they were writing Star Trek.
Yep.
And you can tell which one they put their full effort into.
Yeah.
Because that film revitalized the other franchise to the point that they got signed on for a second and possible third film.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this Transformers 3, to me, I'm not going to like go too much into it, but it looks to me like this is going to be another Revenge of the Fallen, and I'm just hoping to God that it's not. So I'm going to wait until I see trailers before I make any more, you know, legitimate decisions on this show.
Yeah.
Because everything that we're getting from here on out and since the beginning of this, you know, confirmation of this film, is going to be all rumors and speculation. There is no fact whatsoever included, other than who's in it.
Until I see, like, an official, like, two and a half minute trailer with a lot of good footage in it, I'm not making any more judgments or anything. I don't want, and I know, I hope to God this doesn't, but I know that this film is just going to turn into the whole Revenge of the Fallen debacle of oversaturating it. And that's the problem. That's why, you know, I've said, you know, that this is your show, Steve, but I've said I will not report on movie news if it's just filming locations. That's just stupid.
Yeah, see,
it's not a news item.
Well, on the one hand, I can see the point of it. On the other, and more so, I'm leaning towards this the same as you would be. I could give two shits less where they're filming.
Yeah.
I just want to know actual factual information about the film.
Yeah.
The film location doesn't tell me anything about the film other than, oh, hey, we're shooting part of the movie here.
Yeah.
I mean, they've done Indiana, they've done, you know, Chicago, they've done
Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C., they've done Detroit, Michigan. You know, it's, and you could tell how much I cared to, you know, because they had, you know, extras and information on it for Michigan, like no other, and I didn't care enough to even go. if this were, you know, some other movie, yeah, I probably would have cared a little bit more. But regardless of the fact, I mean, I am pumped for Transformers 3, but Transformers 2 didn't leave me much to want.
Yeah.
I would have been fine after Transformers 1.
Yep.
I mean, it's... although I am glad they did 2, I and 2 is slowly growing on me. These little, like, fart jokes need to die.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, no wheelie, no fucking Devastator balls, no Bumblebee peeing on somebody, although that was more, I could see that one more so than the other two.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just hoping that this doesn't bomb.
The last time I watched Revenge on, because I have the DVD, the last time I threw it in to watch it, I made it halfway through. That movie, because of all the crap that Michael Bay put into it, like all the fart, like the humping wheelie bit, I laughed at that, but all the dick and fart jokes and the Devastator balls and seeing Simmons' ass, thank God my monitor is not high def.
You get to see all the craters too.
Aren't you
glad I put that image into your head?
You asshat. Alright, so moving on.
For excellence.
Moving on, we have some very sad news, actually. It's not really, like, sad, like somebody passed away sad, but it's just very disappointing news. Dan Gilvezan, not in the future for Transformers.
Lame.
I know. Sad news, friends. The voice of beloved and super popular Cooler in the animation series from the 1980s Pound Puppies, Dan Gilvezan, has not been approached for any upcoming roles for the Transformers, whether it be television or video game related. In an interview with 20x.com, Dan Gilvezan states that he has not been approached for a role in anything Transformers related, and he believes it is due to the fact that Volkswagen wants nothing to do with Transformers, and thus Bumblebee is forever a Camaro, and that his voice was that of the old character, not anything related to the new Bumblebee, and so he is forgotten. I think this is so stupid, but for those that don't remember or recall to any clever introduction to the story, Dan Gilvezan voiced Generation 1 Bumblebee, Hotspot, and later Goldbug and Snapdragon. Some may ask, how is this no news story considered news? Well, my friends, Dan Gilvezan is a class act, a real stand-up guy, and great with the fans and collectors. Those who attended BotCon 2004 should know what I'm talking about. Any chance to get the guy's name on the internet is a chance no one should pass up. But you never know. After all, Judd Nelson reprised his role in, as Rodimus, and Danny Olvazan has reprised his role of Spider-Man in the upcoming Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions as Spider-Man 2099. Do you want Dan Gilvazan back in Transformers? Yeah, duh.
That's kind of a no-brainer there. Why wouldn't people want him back?
I don't know. I mean, the guy... Dan is one of those guys who... I've seen the TFCon Toronto videos from 2009 on YouTube, and he's just a class act. He tells a lot of good stories, and he's another one of those voice actors like Barry Gordon, who voiced Donatello in the original Turtle series, who doesn't really have to change his voice. I mean, G1 Bumblebee is pretty much Dan's own voice. He may go a little higher or a little lower, but I mean, it's pretty much his own voice. It's not like, you know, Welker, where you have to change to something else. But this is kind of really sad. I mean,
it is kind of sad to see, you know, him get kind of pushed by the wayside, considering, you know, Cullen and Welker have just been thriving on, you know, the franchise again.
Yep.
And you can tell Dan would like to get back into the mix, but there's no shot in hell right now in that.
Yeah, which
at least he's been able to regain, jump into
Spider-Man stuff. Yeah.
I mean, granted, he's not his original, you know, 70s voice or whatever in there, but...
Well, see,
wouldn't have worked in anything nowadays anyway.
Right, but see, that's why I like it so much, is because it's Spider-Man, played by Dan Gilvazan, but it's not the Spider-Man you remember.
It's a brand new Spider-Man from the year 2099.
He's not brand new. I mean, 2099 Spidey's been around for a while.
That's been around a while, but...
Yeah, but I mean, as far as, like, bringing him into video games or animation, yeah, you're right. But when I heard Dan's voice on that, and I know we're getting off the topic of Transformer stuff, but when I heard Dan's voice on that, I'm like, oh, that is so not the original role he did. And I liked it in a good way. Kind of like when we talked about Welker doing a deeper, darker Megatron. Not the G1. It's the same thing. I really, truly like the Spider-Man 2099 voice by Gilvazan because it's a lot darker and it's just much cooler.
Oh, yeah.
And the last story that we're going to talk about today in episode 50... is also Transformers Prime related, and is also related to Bumblebee. Apparently, Josh Keaton, who voiced Spider-Man in Spectacular Spider-Man, has done an exclusive interview with 20.x or 20-x.com. The question is there anything you can tell us about Transformers Prime, story, characters, etc.? Were you and Dan Gilvazan able to talk about the Bumblebee character at all while working together on Shattered Dimensions? And Josh replies, I can't say anything about the story yet, and I'm pretty sure it's already out there that Peter Cullen and Frank Welker will be returning as Optimus and Megatron. Dan and I actually did have a little discussion about me taking all of his roles. But I reminded him that it hasn't actually been confirmed anywhere that I'm going to be voicing Bumblebee. Wink.
Still be possible, but the fact of the matter is most likely not.
Yeah, Bumblebee in the new Transformers Prime is probably going to be Josh Keaton. Which I have nothing against the guy. I really wasn't that into Spectacular Spider-Man cartoon, so I mean, I've heard his voice. However, one of the things I know this will never happen. One of the things I wish they would have done, since Hasbro's all about doing this whole going back and connecting all the continuities with War for Cybertron and all that, I wish they would have just adapted War for Cybertron to animation instead of making a brand new movie-verse cartoon type of deal. And yes, I know it is going to follow the war for Cybertron continuity, but it's still fucking movie design, and I don't like that. If they had ported over War for Cybertron to animation, I think that Johnny Young Bosch should have voiced him. Bumblebee, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. Prime is this whole thing where it, for me, it's a just like the movie, it's a wait and see thing. But I don't like how they're, and Josh himself is not disrespecting Dan at all in this little, you know, answer he gave, but I don't like the way that Hasbro, you know, they bring back Cullen and Welker, or, you know, whoever the production company is on Prime or whatever, they bring back Cullen and Welker to voice their main roles, but they don't bring back the original Bumblebee. That's stupid. That's dumb.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you.
I don't know. I think that's going to do it for us today. Unless you have anything else you want to bring up.
Other than that they've got Transformer Prime character designs online. I kind of one way or the other on.
I don't really care.
Sound like a drone.
I mean, the designs are what they are. I mean, there's nothing we're going to do to change that. There's nothing we can do to change it. They are what they are. The whole aesthetic of the new cartoon is what it is. But I don't know. I guess I would have to see more than just Bumblebee jumping around and shooting people for me to make, like, a final decision on it. And, of course, you know, Michael Wilson's already done waiting. He already hates it, so...
Which is surprising.
Yeah, exactly. He's like...
Coming from a guy that was yelling at you before you found out.
He's yelling
anything.
At both of us. It's like, don't... You need to keep on waiting and before you start hating or whatever the hell he said. And it's like, holy crap. You know, he already hates it, so...
Like, eat it. Eat your words. Eat it. Just messing with you.
Yes. So I guess we can close this out.
Well, and also for those that haven't listened to The Beast Unleashed, listen to it. We also have an interview with Christy Marks and David Soboloff up, which was last week.
Yep.
So definitely be sure to listen to those.
Yes.
And we are moving into Beast Machines in the next month.
Yes, we are. Yay! About damn time. Those three seasons took forever.
But they were so worth it.
Alright, so I have been TFG1 Mike. I'm going back to bed.
And I'm Steve Megatron Phillips. I'm going to edit this show and finish moving all my shit to my external hard drive. So, in closing, you'll hear Depth Charge Fish Pants once more. Yes, for those that don't know it, I used it in The Beast Unleashed. And in the Depth Charge interview. So, yes, you'll hear that.
I need a new chair. My ass hurts.
Yes.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.